everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Root Podcast. As always, I am Carter Spires, here with my co-host, the owner and managing editor of attheroots.com, Matthew Bartlett. Well, we are finally done with the preseason. College football is officially here. I hope all of y'all got your first fix this weekend with some not exactly pretty but entertaining action between Florida
but
and Miami.
College football.
Yeah. And then for those of you who were able to stay up and catch the late shit, just an absolutely insane game between Arizona and Hawaii. So, yeah, football's officially back. Before we get into everything that that's going to mean for Rice, I think we have a couple of housekeeping items to get out of the way. So let's get that taken care of now.
Yeah, so a couple things. Thank you so far to everybody who has picked up a copy of the preview magazine. It has had great response so far, and we have a lot in there actually about Army and all of the Owls' upcoming opponents, so we want to make sure everyone has a chance to go grab that one at theroost.com/shop. While you're there, a couple people have been asking about gear and merch and how they can support the site. We have t-shirts, coffee mugs, sweatshirts, things like that, stickers. Go ahead and pick one of those up and tell your friends about the Roost, those things. And then wanted to hit a little bit on put together, and it's up there on the site now, a quick little pick'em game that I thought would be fun for us to do throughout the season. It's not complicated or too hard. I just put together five items for the game week to kind of go through, and everybody go through, make your comments on the thread on the forum, and take your pick. So how many touchdowns is Rice going to score? Over under 2.5, who wins the time of possession battle? Things like that. You can go in 30 seconds, put them in. We'll tally up scores every week and kind of keep track. And then I figure if a lot of people are into it and want to play, we'll hand out some prizes and stuff at the end of the season. So that's all up there on the forum. You can go find that at theroost.com/community. And that's really what we're hoping this is a place for you all to interact. Of course, there will be Saturdays and game days, but during the week as we post, you know, practice updates and things like that, it'll all be there. And there's actually an option if you want to subscribe. So if you are a member of the site, which is free, you can go into the forum and you can get email updates for whenever things get posted up on the football forum or anything going on. So there's a lot of information there, easy to get to, and want to have it for you so you don't miss anything about Rice football this year. And rolling into the Army week, we've already had a couple things that came up this week.
Yeah, so we've had a couple players get put on scholarship, including freshman cornerback Treshawn Devones, safety Matthew Sams, okay, and fullback Brandon Suckley. So congrats to those guys. That's always a really cool moment when the guys get put on scholarship.
Yeah, and it's been pretty neat. So running back Ari Broussard got put on scholarship in spring. It's just a really cool moment in the locker room because there's not like a walk-on section and a scholarship section. Everyone's together, and especially how the recruiting department is handling it right now, that there's not really any announcement of who is signing with Rice and who is a walk-on and who is a scholarship, because to the coaches, it doesn't really matter. So congratulations for those guys. But a quick note on Treshawn Devones. So Rice brought in 40 players in this last signing class, but for various scholarship reasons and NCAA restrictions, 25 guys are scholarship athletes. And then the rest of them, there's a couple different rules and lots of red tape of all the walk-on rules and how that works. But essentially, from what my understanding was at that time, that Treshawn Devones, because of the walk-on rules and how that worked, was not going to be eligible to play on Saturdays this fall because of those restrictions. So if he was going to get on the field this year, he was going to have to get a scholarship. And he did that in 3 weeks at fall camp. So I think that is notable. You know, congrats to Matthew and Brendan for working their tails off for more than a year to get to this point. The fact that, you know, Treshawn was able to come in and do that so early, I think is pretty indicative of, you know, Carter, and we've talked about a handful of freshmen that are going to be pretty special and have the chance to make an impact this year and in the years coming. He's one guy that I think we should be pretty excited about, especially with this recent update.
Yeah, with a guy that turns heads that quickly in fall camp, coming in as a true freshman, that usually bodes very well for a player's future. The other thing that's been announced as of the time of recording are the team captains, who are Austin Trammell, Miles with a Y Adams, unsurprisingly, the senior, and punter Chris Barnes. So congrats to those guys. That's always, I know, you hear players talk about when they're coming out of college football, when they, you know, these are things that are voted on by the team. So that's a sign that you really have the respect of your peers when you get voted to do this. So a big congrats to those guys. I know that's something that's really, really meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are all guys that, especially with, you know, Miles Adams is the only true senior on the roster. We talked about in the defensive preview episode, and Chris is a redshirt senior, and these guys have been around the program pre Blomgren and have been some of the leaders throughout Blomgren's tenure at Rice. So really neat to see them getting that opportunity. And like you said, getting recognized. Those are all three guys that are going to be actively involved this year and really should make a difference for the Owls. So congrats to them.
So moving on, it is game week. Rice takes on Army in, by the time you're listening to this, just a couple of days. At the time of recording, we are short of having official announcements for starting quarterback and an official depth chart being handed out. I think it's pretty safe to say that we can go ahead and just say that Wiley Green is going to be the starting quarterback to start the season, even though, as I said at the time of recording, that has not been officially announced. But I think I don't think there's a lot of mystery there.
So it will have been announced by the time you listen to this.
Right.
And kudos to us if we're right. If we're not, we're sorry. Wiley will probably see action Saturday either way. But whoever gets the first crack is going to kind of have to set the tone for an offense this season, which has a lot of question marks. So I don't know which end we want to get started. If we want to tackle one particular piece of Rice or start with Army or...
Yeah, let's we've talked a lot about Rice going through so far, so let's get into Army itself. And when you're talking about these service academies, I think the thing that really stands out to a lot of people is the offense, so we might as well start there. They do run this it's often called a triple option offense, which is maybe a bit of a misnomer because the triple option is a play rather than an offense. But it's often called the flex bone after the primary formation in which they'll line up. And it's a variant on the old wishbone that was invented at Texas back in the 70s and eventually passed on to other powers like Alabama and Oklahoma. So in the wishbone, the quarterback lines up under center. There's a fullback directly behind him and then two running backs behind the fullback, making a wishbone shape, hence the name. The flex bone takes those two running backs and as it said, breaks the bone. So the two running backs come out and line up kind of in the slot directly outside of the offensive tackles. And it just gives you a bit more flexibility. It lets you get those running backs in motion when you're running those option plays to the outside and stuff like that. But ultimately, the point of this offense is that it wants to run the ball. And they want to run the ball a lot. I think, as we alluded to last week, I think Army threw less than 100 passes last season. You will often see wide receivers in the offenses like this put up season-long stat lines that look like what might be a particularly great game for a wide receiver in other offenses.
Yeah, leading wide receiver, returning wide receiver for Army, Kel Walker, 11 catches, 170 yards, and one touchdown in the season.
So run the ball. It's going to stay on the ground. This is the offense that when Georgia Southern was an FCS team just as recently as 2013, they beat an admittedly bad Florida team in the swamp 26-23 without completing a pass. So this offense definitely does not rely on any semblance of balance as far as running and passing to keep things going.
And most probably didn't even see it last year, but this same Army team went to Norman and was neck and neck with Oklahoma in the fourth quarter and darn well came close to pulling off the upset because of that kind of controlling the clock and pacing the game and playing at their own speed.
Yeah. Like, so today, to kind of prepare for this, I was rewatching parts of their game against Air Force last year. So Army and Navy run basically the same offense. Air Forces is a little bit different. They do a bit more modern shotgun option type stuff than this. The flex bone is a little, I think, was invented by Fisher DeBerry at Air Force, actually, in the 80s. Air Force now runs a slightly different offense, but there's a lot of familiarity between the programs when they play, so I thought it would be interesting to check some of that tape. Army's first drive of the game lasted 13 minutes and 21 plays, 19 rushes and 2 passes. And they went 75 yards and scored a touchdown. And the interesting thing there was I was particularly kind of honing in and trying to look at the true option plays. And to my eyes, and I might have missed one, but they didn't run any actual option plays on that drive, which I thought was really interesting. And maybe some of that has to do with playing an opponent that's really familiar with what you do, and so you're changing it up. But I do want to say that, like, just because you think of this offense as being the triple option, it doesn't actually mean that every single play is a true option play. A lot of times they're called handoffs to the fullback, who is, this is not a fullback like Rice will use. In this offense, it's often called the B back, and then the two slot backs are called the A backs. So if you hear that terminology, that's what that is. The B back is going to be your true kind of leading rusher. And for Army last year, that was a guy named
Darnell Wolfolk.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting because he was a senior and has departed. So he was, you talk about this offense and the B back being the guy who is first up and kind of sets the tone. He's the one that they'll do that quick handoff to and run it up the middle. And if Army can get that position going and they can get 3 yards or 4 yards up the middle every single time, then their offense is on pace and on schedule. And that's when they get dangerous, because you got to start bringing guys in the middle to get pressure up front. And that's when they can go and bring out some of those option style plays and kind of push it to the outside. So who takes over that role and how effective he is going to be a big piece to watch for. What does Army's offense look like when they're trying to go, you know, right up Miles Adams, right up in the middle of the gut of the defense with Javonte Hubbard? How successful are they when Rice is not trying to do anything special? That's going to be one piece to watch.
And, you know, an interesting note there is that, you know, this is going to be, and we should perhaps have started by saying that this Army team is really good. It's going to be really good, we think, because they're coming off one of the most successful stretches in their program's history. You know, Army was a program that way back in like the 1940s was competing for national titles and stuff like that. You know, since then, the service academies have not necessarily been at the top of college football, but Army is coming off back-to-back 10-win seasons. They've beaten, you know, after not beating Navy for something like 15 years straight, they've beaten them twice in a row. I believe they've won the Commander-in-Chief's trophy 2 years in a row, so this is going to be a really solid team. But one interesting part to that matchup is this is not going to be an area where Rice is going to be really physically overmatched, because, you know, because this is a service academy, because these guys are going there ultimately to receive a commission into the United States Army, there are certain literal height and weight restrictions that they have often. Now, Army's, believe they're starting left guard, a guy named, I forgot his first name, Deaton is his name. Jackson Deaton, he's a big dude. He's about 310 pounds, and I believe their other guard is pretty big, around 290 as well. But like both of their starting tackles are about 260 pounds, which is definitely smaller than you're going to see on most offensive lines in FBS football. So it's going to be interesting to see, can this be an area where Rice kind of takes back a physical advantage against the sort of smaller players that they're, and, you know, part of it's the restrictions from being at West Point, and part of it is that in this offense, you're looking for sort of smaller, more agile linemen as opposed to big maulers. But
feeding off the size piece, so one of Rice's, I guess, I don't want to say primary competitors, but one of the groups of schools that really is in the recruiting mix with Rice that is kind of aiming for the same kind of players are the service academies. So if you look at some of Rice's current offers and some of the guys they're going at, most of the time, right, they'll have a Rice offer, they'll have Navy, they'll have Air Force, Army, some combination of something like that. So these are, from an athletic perspective, you're not getting the 6 foot, you know, 240 runs like a gazelle those guys are going to Bama and elsewhere, but this caliber of athlete should be equal. And for the most part, at least when Blomgren's been here, Rice is winning those battles. So from a pure recruiting perspective and talent on the field, Rice is starting to accumulate players that have physically more talent and acumen than Army would. But we're also in 2.5 of Blomgren's recruiting classes versus what you said of Army has been having going strong for a couple years now. So you might not see that full, you know, talent advantage this coming weekend, but it won't be a position where in this game, Rice is not going to be overmatched. They're not going to be out-talented or out-athleted.
Yeah, exactly. And so really, I think the key matchup here is, I mean, it's a sort of a cliche to talk about with schools like Rice and Army. It's really going to be a mental matchup. And the thing about that is, so I did just make a point of saying that not all the running plays are option plays like you sometimes might think, but it is still a significant part of the offense. I suspect they will try it a lot against, this is the first game of the year. You expect some kind of sloppiness. And the thing that an option offense will do is it will test your discipline. You have to be disciplined and stay and play your assignment, because the moment you're caught chasing the ball carrier, you're out of your lane, you're not taking the guy that you're supposed to, you know, they'll cut a run to the outside and take it to the house. Like, it's all about, so the traditional triple option play starts with the quarterback takes a snap from under center, and then the fullback comes up and the quarterback plants it in the fullback's stomach, and he's reading usually the defensive end on the front side of the play. Sometimes they'll run a midline read where he's reading a defensive tackle. That guy is going to be unblocked. And if that guy crashes inside to play the fullback, the quarterback, or if that guy stays home, stays outside, the quarterback is going to hand it off and just, they're going to take the fullback up the middle. If the defensive end crashes inside to take the fullback, the quarterback is going to pull the ball and run outside with trailing one of the B-backs. And this is your sort of traditional option play, like a speed option, that sort of thing. What you think of when you hear just the word option base. And ideally there, you're going to have a player on the outside who's usually going to be an outside linebacker. If everything's blocked up right, that one player will have to account for both the quarterback and the running back. And so if that player commits and tries to tackle the quarterback, then the quarterback's going to pitch it outside to the running back. If that player kind of stays wide and tries to play both of them, or tries to cut off the outside lane for the running back, then the quarterback's going to keep the ball and cut it inside. And the key to that is the way you're going to defend that is you're going to have, everybody's going to have an assignment. You know, you're going to tell the defensive end, if he's unblocked, to do this. You're going to tell the linebacker to do this. You're going to tell the cornerback to do this. And if you get caught messing that up, if you are out of position, if you, you know, take the quarterback when you're supposed to be playing the running back, it's all over. And so, you know, the motto of this program is intellectual brutality. Well, this game is really going to test the intellectual part of that, because defending the option is all about playing smart football.
Yeah, and around South Maine, you know, the phrase that you'll kind of hear from some of these guys in post-game interviews and stuff like that is doing their 1/11th. You know, the scheme and all that, it doesn't matter how effective that 10 guys are playing. If you're talking about, if you have that one linebacker on the outside who doesn't commit to the guy he's supposed to take, whether that be the quarterback or that trailing back, that's 5 or 6 yards, 7 yards, 10 yards. And for an offense like Army, I mean, you talked about that drive from the game you watched earlier, 21 plays, 75 yards. What does that work down to? Like 3.5, 6 yards a carry? Like that's not anything to write home about, but that's what makes this offense so scary, is if even if you're playing completely sound fundamental football and you're defending it well, they can still lunge forward and get a yard or two. So it really only takes in one set of three downs is one kind of lapse of being where you're supposed to be, and that's a 5 or 6 yard play, and boom, they're right back on schedule.
Right, and it's not even three downs, it's four downs, because Jeff Monken is one of the few coaches out there who, this is going to sound a little overly harsh, but he understands the math. If Army is in 4th and 1, 4th and 2, 4th and 3, 4th and 4, depending on where they are on the field, they will go for it, because if you just look at numbers historically, particularly for an offense that runs the ball as well as he does, coaches should go for those short fourth downs almost all of the time. And Jeff Monken, to his credit, has figured this out, and they will go for it on fourth down. If it's short yardage, they will go for it almost every time. I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but they
I have them, and they're unbelievable. So in Army's 13 games last year, they attempted 36 fourth down conversions, which that number is unbelievable. You could probably add up college football conferences, and you might not get to 36. What's crazier is out of those 36 attempts, they converted 31 times. That's an 86% conversion rate on fourth down. If you can do that, that's right. What makes this team so good.
It almost, and it's funny enough, because you do that enough and you sort of break kind of traditional football official. So a number that a lot of like football analytics types use is a success rate, which is basically defined as like the usual definition. I think the one they use at Football Outsiders is, it's, did you get 50% of the yards you need on first down? I think 70% on second down, and then 100% on third and fourth down, because, you know, that's, it's measuring, you know, what, how much yardage do you need to get to kind of stay on schedule as an offense and not kind of get behind. And Army, the thing about the way they play is they don't need to hit those marks on any down except for fourth down. So you can have, they can have what appears to, you know, a spreadsheet as a very bad success rate of 25%. But if they're getting, you know, 3.3332, you know, yards on four successive downs, then they're getting another first down. And so it's, they really kind of cracked a code here that and it just reinforces that how you cannot take a single play off against them, because they're just going to keep pushing at you.
Yeah, and so Army ran 922 plays last year on offense. And so beyond just the success rate thing, which first off, like you said, they kind of broken the mold. If everyone else in the country, for the most part, is playing off this, if I say antiquated football, people will get mad at me. But, you know, kind of an old school, you punt on fourth down mentality. If he's already throwing an extra down to defend on three, four, five drives a game, that's one thing. But then the fact that you're throwing us on top of, you know, a defense who by the third or the fourth quarter might have already seen 80, 90, 100 plays. And so once your defensive tackles have already taken 50 runs to their face in a game, and then it's fourth and one, they have to do it again, it wears on you. And it makes a difference, which is something that, you know, like you said, a lot of coaches are willing to give up because, you know, it's fourth and two. We punt on fourth and two.
And, you know, and the thing about it is it's not just you're playing all those plays. And Army is like Rice. They're going to seek to control the ball, and they are not going to go fast. So they're not typically going to run a whole lot of plays. But, and, you know, there is some debate as to whether the numbers really bear this out in terms of, like, whether, you know, yards per carry numbers increase as you get more rushing attempts, but anecdotal evidence from players pretty much bears out across the board that it's a lot more tiring for defenders, especially in the front seven, to have to deal with run plays over and over and over again. So, you know, if you're a defensive tackle and you have linemen coming downhill and pulling and knocking the crap out of you over and over and over again 20 times on the same drive, and that's what really gets you is you know, if your defense has time to rest, you know, particularly as, you know, the tempo Rice plays at, they'll get some time when they're off the field. But if you have to get smacked in the face by a 290 pound guard rolling downhill at you 20 times on the same drive, that adds up.
So, and that's another thing. So I'm gonna make a old school movie reference, but Lord of the Rings, Twin Towers. I'm thinking back to it. If you remember seeing that movie, there's this scene at Helm's Deep where they have this massive fortress and everything is protected, but there's that one weak spot. And if the enemy gets the one weak spot, it's all over. So that's something, like Carter, you mentioned with like pounding the same guy 20 times in a row. That's something we're going to see from the Rice defense in this game that maybe we didn't see as much last year is they're going to have a lot of multiple fronts, and they're going to do a lot of different things, and they're going to align themselves within the same drive with whether it be different personnel or different alignments up front. It's what Rice doesn't want to do, they have to stay disciplined, but they don't want to line up in the same spot with the same guys in their hand in the same place on the ground, because that's the point where Army can figure out, this is working, we attack here, we hit this gap, and then they can start rolling. So what Rice is going to do is they're going to kind of experiment, and they're going to have three or four options in different places where guys that, you know, might be traditionally playing down with the hand on the ground are going to be up or move further to the side or outside one tackle or things like that. You're going to see a lot of different things from the Rice defense that you're not going to see them do against Wake Forest the week down the road, just to make sure that Army's not able to hone in on a safe spot or a consistent spot and just kind of pound away like that and make those gains.
Right. I just want to add for a second there that this is a Rice podcast. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, what are you doing with your life?
Talking to the right target audience?
Yeah, you've let down us all. You've let down your school. So you should watch and probably read Lord of the Rings, quite frankly, if you want to, you know, make sure your Rice degree is still legitimate. But we definitely should not move on from the Army offense without talking about Kelvin Hopkins, who's their quarterback. As option quarterbacks tend to be, he was also their leading rusher last season, and they really are going to rely on him a lot. You know, we talked about Wolfolk, who was their leading run, the B-back who had a lot of their rushing yards. But really, they, you know, if you look at their rushing numbers, it was Wolfolk with 956 yards and Hopkins with just over 1,000. And other than that, they had a couple of guys, Connor Slomka, who's probably going to be their primary B-back this year. They didn't go to those A-backs, those slot backs, a whole lot. Kel Walker, I think, was the leading rusher among those with 320 yards and also their leading receiver. They're going to, when they do throw, they're going to use those A-backs as receivers a lot. So a lot of the damage expect, you know, if it'll all depend on what Army's coaches kind of see as the strength of the team now, but last year, if that carries over, you're going to see a lot of carries from the quarterback and you're going to see a lot of carries from the B-back and maybe a little less of the contributions from those A-backs, a little less of those true triple option plays. But Kelvin Hopkins was great for them last year, and he's probably going to be great for him again this year. They'd like for him to get his completion percentage up a little bit, probably. He was at about 55% last year. They probably want that closer to 60%. You know, when you do pass in this offense, it's going to catch people off guard, and you're going to have you'll often see the receivers. You know, you can just look if you happen to have the Roost Preview magazine open in front of you. You can see that their leading returning receivers all had per catch averages of, you know, between 15 and 32 yards. So they're going to be big plays available when they choose to pass.
And they're not going to have to throw into traffic.
Yeah,
it's going to be one-on-one, because Rice is going to be stacking guys in the box, and you're going to be asking guys that you're going to have your number called three times today. Maybe you need to win two of those. And continuing in on Hopkins. So just, you know, we're talking numbers here. Kelvin Hopkins was incredible what he did for Army last season. So, you know, you think an option quarterback and the multiple things he has to juggle. He was actually the first player in Army program history to rush for 1,000 yards and throw for 1,000 yards in the same single, in the same season, which is pretty incredible in an offense that has been doing this same kind of thing for a long time. Now, granted, there's more games that they're playing than they used to play 56 years ago, but that's important, because really what Hopkins is trying to do is optimize the math, that hand to the fullback, that first read, that run with him, that pitch back, you know, a play action pass. How can they continue to get, what's the optimal play? How can they get 4 yards every single play? And that's something, how good he is at making those decisions. That's why Army has been as successful as they have with him at the quarterback. If you have someone who's not quite prepared or able to make the decisions in the crunch time, then you get Army running suboptimal plays. You get them keeping when they shouldn't keep and giving when they shouldn't give. And all of a sudden those 4 yard plays become 1 and 2 yards plays and they get behind schedule. And that's when this offense doesn't work, because he's so good that his ability to intellectually make those decisions and those reads in real time
that's what's going to make this offense scary. And if he's having a good day and making those reads, that's going to make it difficult for Rice, even if they're doing everything right, to stop him.
I mean, and that's the idea. Like, first of all, definitely, like, this all runs on his decision making. You know, there's no such thing as a game manager quarterback in this type of offense. You can't really take the ball out of his hands and make him not an impact player, because he's going to be involved on every single play. And, you know, you can, it really is all about, for these traditional option offenses, it all runs on the quarterback. And when the quarterback's great, these offenses can really do some damage. And when the quarterback's not great, it hampers them a lot. All right. Any last notes on the offense before we move over to the other side of the ball?
I think that's all we got. We've a good amount. Bryce is going to have to be diligent. I mean, we've said that time and time again, but
an option offense will, ideally, to go back to, you know, Paul Johnson is an architect of this offense. The way he talks about it is that every single play they run is designed to go for a touchdown. Yeah, they just by nature of running the ball up the middle a lot, they're going to have a lot of short gains. But an option play is designed to isolate defenders and force them to make a choice, and then force that choice to be wrong every single time. And that carries through all principles to spread option runs like zone read and to run pass option type plays. But that's really the principle here. And it's so easy to just, on any given play, for just one player to mess up and bam, a guy's taking it to the house. So
if you're a football junkie and you've loved the X and the O's breakdown on the triple option one, you should stay here. This is good stuff. So there's that piece. And then I think it's an interesting, and I might have mentioned back, I don't know if this was on the site or in a prior podcast, but I talked with coaches around Conference USA during the media days, and I said, so what's it like preparing for Rice? I know you've only done it with this new offensive scheme 1 year, and I had several guys say it feels like we're preparing for a service academy. Like, the way that Rice uses their tight ends, and they have a fullback, and the way that their offense, they know Blomgren wants to run it. They said that's the challenge, is getting a scout team ready to do that, and kind of understanding it and getting through all of the fine tunes of, you know, Rice isn't going full triple option. That's not going to happen when Blomgren is here. But the fact that other programs are looking at Rice and having that same mental leap, when you're watching Army this weekend, that's the idea behind what Blomgren and his staff are trying to do at Rice. They're trying to instill an offense, that intellectual brutality that is able to attack people where they're weak. And then it's at that point, you know, like Carter, we were talking about, it's not about being out-athleted. It's about being out-thought. And if you can outthink someone and put yourself in a position where they've guess the wrong way and they can't tackle you, it doesn't matter how fast or slow you are or who else is on the field. If you have 10 yards in front of you and there's no defenders, you're going to get the first down. So when you're watching Army at a different vantage point, that's what Rice is trying to go for on offense. So I thought that was worth sharing and interesting that that's how Rice's conference foes kind of look at them when they're prepping for the Owls.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of sort of broad philosophical similarities between what a team like Army wants to do and what Rice wants to do in terms of, you know, controlling the ball and reducing variance, and also zigging where everyone else is zagging and just making yourself an absolute pain to prepare for, and to where the other team can't really replicate you in the scout team. That's really valuable, and you can cause a lot of headaches for opposing defensive coordinators that way. Talking about Rice's offense is a good transition to the other side of the ball, so we can talk about the Army defense now. And they put up, so it's interesting, their base stats were very good last year. I think they were top 10 in the country in overall yards allowed, something like, I think it was under 300 yards. That holds up a little less well when you look at pace-adjusted numbers. The thing about Army controlling the ball so much, you know, Oklahoma had the best offense in the country last year and only put up 28 points on them. And it's not really because Army was stopping them. It's just because they kept the ball away from them. And, you know, Kyler Murray and company could only get it a couple of times. So, you know, if you look at last year's S&P Plus numbers. This is Bill Connolly now at ESPN, his analytics system. They were only 70th in defensive S&P Plus last year. So that's an overall pace and opponent adjusted efficiency metric. So this is not, you hear they were a top 10 defense last year. Those numbers need to be adjusted, but there's no question they were really tough on defense last year. The interesting thing this year is that they replace a lot of guys on defense, and particularly in the front seven. I think they actually only have one returning starter in the front seven. They run a base 3-4 look and probably are actually going to be in that base 3-4 against Rice, given how much Rice likes to use its tight ends. So linebacker Cole Christensen, I believe he was their second leading tackler last year. He's back. I think they replaced the entire rest of the front seven. They return a lot of experience in the secondary, but that's tough replacing your whole front like that. And it could be, an area where you could see, as much as Rice wants to run the ball, and as it'll be interesting being the first game of the year, breaking in new players, you could see Rice have quite a bit of success, I think, running the ball against. And, again, you're looking at some kind of size restrictions they're not going to have. If you look at the Army roster, they actually have quite a number of larger defensive linemen, but they're almost all freshmen who will probably have to shed that weight as they progress through the academy and become upperclassmen and are moving to line for actual playing time. I believe most of their starters are a little bit smaller, which makes a lot of sense. So, between the guys Rice has on the offensive line who are, they're definitely not lacking in size there, and the inexperience that Army has in the front seven, I think, you could definitely look for Rice to have some real success running the ball on Friday.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of things, a couple angles to hit on that. So first off, when we talk about, trying to get a good gauge of how good this Army defense is. So we've already mentioned the Oklahoma game from last year. So they lost to Oklahoma. It was close. They lost to Duke. Those were their two losses last season. Those were the Power Five opponents they played. Here are the other games on Army's schedule: Buffalo, San Jose State, Eastern Michigan, Lafayette, Colgate, Liberty. I'm not saying that Army is not a good football team. We just spent half an hour talking about Kelvin Hopkins and the offense and how proficient they are and good at what they do. But, when you were talking about, how good is this defense, you kind of have to adjust it for who they played. And then there's the factor of all the graduations and the new guys that you're going to see. So this is a service academy, and, your familiarity with the Army or any military branch, notwithstanding, that there's a natural progression once you get into any branch of the military. You start at the lowest rank and you work your way up. There's some here and there where you can move faster or slower depending on what you are, but the Army football team is the same way. So at Rice, we saw this last year. If you're a freshman at Rice and you were incredibly talented, the odds of you getting on the football field are pretty good. If you're a freshman at Army and you have the same talent level, it's a lot more challenging because you have guys that have waited their turn, have done everything they needed to on and off the field and made their progression. And so you're going to see most of the Army defense in particular is going to be juniors and seniors, but they're not going to be juniors and seniors who have played 4 years of college football or 3 years of college football. It's going to be guys who played sparingly as a sophomore, got a couple games in, might have, gotten special teams action as a freshman. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, I'm not going to say you can throw the defensive statistics that Army had out the window, but they're not going to hold as much bearing because at the same point, these are guys that are, for the most part, as green, if not greener, than some of the players Rice is going to put on the field.
Yeah, for sure. So you're, particularly in that front seven, now, like I said, they do return quite a bit of experience in the secondary. That's really where the strength of the defense is going to be for them. So I think what you will see game plan wise for Rice, and it sounds a little silly at first, like, oh, Rice is going to run the ball a lot. Gee, wow, what a surprise. But I think in this game in particular, considering the matchup, I think Rice is really going to look to control the line of scrimmage on offense and really get going downhill with the run game and really test that new front seven for Army. And then, you know, hopefully once you get that going and you kind of force them to commit numbers to the box, then you can kind of take some shots and, you know, see if Zane Knight can get loose down the field in one-on-one coverage, see if you can, you know, kind of hit a shot play. But given Rice's inexperience at wide receiver and the matchup on that end with Army's defensive backs, I think you're really going to see even for Rice, an unusually run-heavy game plan on this side of the ball.
So try and out Army.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of philosophical similarities between what these teams want to do. You know, they go about it in different ways, but the things that they ultimately want to do are very similar. And, you know, like, this is one area I really think Rice is going to have an advantage in the trenches on this, given that Army's offensive linemen are a little smaller and Army's offensive and defensive linemen are a little smaller. So I think Rice can kind of stalemate them on when Army has the ball in the trenches. And then when Rice has the ball, I think it's pretty fair to say that Rice has a physical advantage in the trenches.
And
so,
they should, because they're playing guys who, for the most part, don't have the reps that the Rice offensive line has. And the guys that they brought in, you know, the grad transfers, you're talking about, you know, Brian Chafin, his starting experience on the goal line and short yardage packages at Stanford, and Justin Gooseberry, Nick Leverett. Those are guys that were All-Americans at their respective levels. You know, it's not at the same caliber as they are now in the competition they're playing with the Owls, but they were the best of where they were, and so they earned the right to play at a higher level. And so Army doesn't have those same kind of All-Americans coming up to help them. So from a talent perspective, like you said, Rice has the advantage, at least up front.
Yeah, and so I think it would, you know, game planning for any football game is always a matter of saying, you know, where are our it's always interesting to read when you read previews for a football game and stuff. A lot of times you'll see people who will be just like, okay, well, let's look at the positions. Like, you know, who's got the better quarterback? Oh, it's this team. Who's got the better offensive line? It's this team. Who's got the better secondary? It's this team. But what matters is not, is my quarterback better than your quarterback? It's, can my quarterback and his receivers beat your defensive backs and pass rush? It's a matchup thing. And I think when Rice's coaches are looking at this game, they're going to look at it and say, well, what's the matchup here? Where can we kind of test them, and where do we think we can come out on top in the matchup? And I think they're going to look at the matchup of their offensive line and tight ends versus the Army front seven and say, this is probably an area where we have a matchup advantage. And so I think you're really going to see them come out and look to establish kind of physical dominance at the point of attack when Rice has the ball.
Getting intellectual brutality, you know, goosebumps. You're going to see a lot of that running action. And then I think two guys that you're going to want to pay extra close attention to in this game are Austin Trammell and Robert French. So Austin Trammell, everybody knows, a slot receiver. He's going to be actively involved in Army. You know, might be able to do some things with the secondary, maybe put a safety over the top because they know he's the Owls' best receiving option. But no safety over the top is going to be able to stop those kind of quick slant, short passes, get him the ball in space. We talked about Army trying to stay on tempo. If you can get him coming across the formation for a 3-4-5 yard catch and you can do that consistently, that's going to help Rice with staying on the ahead of the chains and that sort of thing. And then, you know, something that I kind of noticed through fall camp, we talked a little bit about Robert French, and there's a bit more about him and his spring and what he's gone through in our preview. So some more detail there. But what I've noticed is that Rice has kind of tended toward, and this might be with, you know, the youth of the receiving core to one degree, but Rice has done a lot more two tight end sets throughout fall camp than, I don't know, maybe I was initially expecting. And I think it's because they have guys like Jordan Myers and Yager Bull that they trust to be the blocker and kind of set that edge and be physical up front and help that offensive line. And then they have French, who's a guy that they're really trusting to be that guy who can attack the seam and be that mismatch against the linebacker. So if you're running an offense, you know, combating Army, and you're not trying to throw the ball 50 times on Friday, you want to kind of pick and choose which throws you're going to take and who you're going to target. And so Robert French is a guy that I think is going to play a lot more than most folks are going to expect. And he's going to get a good amount of targets because he has that combination size and speed ability to get downfield and be that mismatch over those linebackers and things like that.
And that's an area where Coach Mack's background and you know coming from North Carolina Central and running more spread plays, running more of the modern kind of including some run pass option type stuff. So once you get, you know, if you come out really and you're really pounding the football, you're getting after him in the run game, that's when you know, the moment the ball is snapped, you're going to have linebackers flowing downhill and looking to plug gaps. You're going to have them committing numbers to the run, loading up guys in the box. And that's when you go, you know, you hit them with just simple stuff. You know, you package an inside zone run with a tight end releasing up the seam. The quarterback puts the ball in the running back's gut and the linebacker sees that and he's seen run. And so he starts coming downhill. Well, now there's a space right behind him. And it is so easy for a tight end to just slip into that space. Quarterback pulls the ball, pitch and catch up the seam. You can get some big plays that way. So it's all going to be about, I think, coming out and really forcing Army to play the run as aggressively as possible. And that's when you can kind of flip the script on him and hit some big plays over the top.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. You know, we've talked a lot about Zane Knipe and his fall camp and what that's looked like. And I think that Rice wants to play with their new toy. Like, so they're going to take at least one or two shots downfield just to see if you can hit that big play and get some momentum. And maybe, you know, Jerry Mack is crafty enough. Maybe it is the first play of the game of a series. They just go and take a bomb and see if they can catch Army sleeping because Army's going to know that they're going to be preparing for the run. So you're going to see a shot or two, but I don't think you're going to see six or seven because that's not the game that Rice wants to play, even if they can win that way. Army's secondary is pretty strong, and it's the most senior of the groups that are coming back on defense. And that's not going to be where you talked about matchups. Rice's wide receiver versus Army's defensive backs, that's not where the biggest advantage for Rice is. And so that's not going to be where primarily they're going to be trying to attack.
All right. Any last thoughts on this side of the ball?
No, I think we're good on defense. A couple special teams comments?
Yeah, I believe, is Army replacing all of their specialists this year?
Yes, and so when I was working through and putting together this preview, I talked with Gavin Jernigan, who, you know, was a cadet at West Point and now covers college football right now and covers Army, and I asked him, you know, give me the breakdown and work through putting this preview together. Like, who do I need to know? Who do I not need to know? And he mentioned that, you know, Army's replacing everybody on special teams. And I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He's like, it's fantastic. They were awful.
Oh,
which is good. A good thing for Rice when they're happy the other guys are going out the door. You know, and this was kind of the struggle for Army's. They were so good on fourth down and they were so good at keeping the ball, but it really was a hold your breath and wait when it came time for field goals. And for better or worse, they now have a new guy that they're going to have to try that out with. So, you know, Rice is in the same place, so I don't know if there's really an advantage either way. But at this point, it's going to be, you know, an even match.
Yeah, let's just say that let's hope that Army's new punter and new kicker have to get as much work as possible. Because if Army is doing what they want to do on offense, they will not be punting and they will not be kicking field goals. That, to a certain extent, that applies to every offense probably. But if particularly Army, their thresholds for when they're going to kick it, whether it's a punt or a place kick, are a lot higher than most teams. So for Rice's sake, let's hope those guys are getting a lot of work.
Here's a fun punting stat. So they had two guys that they used for punts last year, Nick Strage and Zach Potter. Together they had 31 punts last season. So that averages to what, the 13 games, two-ish a game?
Yeah.
Pretty sure Jack had 13 against UAB. I think one of those got blocked, so I think it only gets down as officially as 12, but 13. And they punted 31 times in this season.
Not really a lot to add. That pretty much sums up that's a good summary of Army as a team and where they are philosophically. Yeah, so I think that's going to be the key there is really test those guys out. You know, make them work harder in this game than they expect to.
Yeah, and put them in situations where it's hard. I mean, not to overstate the obvious, but if you're talking to a guy who's coming in and he needs to make a field goal in a clutch situation, stop Army on the 35-yard line and not the 5-yard line. Like, make the situations where if you're going to get off the field, do everything you can to get off the field quicker so that you're breaking in guys who are trying to hit 50-yard field goals and not 25-yard field goals. I mean, it's not rocket science, but obviously it's a lot easier to hit the shorter kicks. And so at this point on the kicker piece, so Zach Hoban has kind of gotten dinged up a little bit in camp. And so I was asking Bloomgren about just injury situation for the most part with Zach and everybody else. There's nobody that is hurt to the extent that they're worried about their availability long term. But Zach right now, he was in a boot at practice and is kind of nicked up. So I think more than likely, barring something else and you know, things that might change, of course, you know, by the time this podcast drops, he'll be healthy and doing cartwheels. But if good for that. Otherwise, I think we're going to see Will Harrison get the kicks at least out of the gate against Army. And so he was a guy who was actually the Owls kicker 2 years ago before Jack and Hayden kind of split duties. So from an experience point, Rice is going to have the kicker that's been there and done that to relative success, good and bad, but he's not going to be trying to kick his first meaningful footballs in a live game setting on Friday versus Army's kicker. You know, there's a different degree of comfort there. You know, it's one thing to do it in practice. It's another thing to do it when the game is on the line and you're in a high pressure situation.
All right. Well, any last thoughts on Army before we wrap up for the week?
I think we have talked the bone to death. We are all set. And now it's, you know, we've been talking about football for a long time now. And now we're at the point where we can start counting in terms of hours instead of weeks. And thank goodness.
All right.
It's good stuff. Go ahead and play in our pick 'em game. You can go find that on the forum. And, you know, if you have any questions or anything, you know, send them our way. And, you know, we're excited for real live football.
Yeah, it's so nice. The long off season is finally over. All right, so we'll see y'all back next week with an actual game result, which is going to be really nice to have that to talk about. So we'll see y'all then, and Rice fight.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.